Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 is where we begin our Bible study today. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy of God's Word. If you don't have a Bible with you, they'll have it on the screen for you, so you follow along there. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." Verse 10. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Verse 11. "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." You will be surprised to find that some of the most remarkable thinkers of all time were believers in Jesus Christ. The intellectual culture in which we live tends to characterize followers of Christ as those who are less educated, less familiar with science and the times. The preacher is a country bumpkin who shouts often and leads a congregation of people who can't think for themselves. I want you to consider the testimony of scientists and leaders of this and previous generations. One is Copernicus, who is the Polish astronomer who is credited with the discovery of the heliocentric universe. On his grave in Frauenburg, it says, on the tombstone at this grave, it says this: "I do not seek a kindness equal to that given to Paul, nor do I ask the grace granted to Peter, but that forgiveness which thou didst grant to the robber, that earnestly I crave." Consider others. Francis Bacon, who lived from 1561 to 1627, who is credited with the development of what we now know as and call the scientific method. Consider Johannes Kepler, a mathematician and astronomer who had and developed the concept of universal gravity. Consider Blaise Pascal, the mathematician, who was instrumental in the development of the concepts of probability. Consider Robert Boyle, who developed what we know as Boyle's Law, who did research and discovery in gases and chemistry. Consider Michael Faraday, who made discoveries in electricity, magnetism, and physics. Consider James Prescott Joule, who a unit of energy is named after his last name, the Joule. I just remember, Edward, where are you, Edward? I just remember being in chemistry and physics, and and having to measure in joules. I don't know that I still remember all of that, but I just remember the joule. Gregor Mendel, who developed Mendelian genetics and was instrumental there. Lord Kelvin, who was knighted by Queen Victoria, who gave us studies in the concepts of absolute zero and degrees Kelvin. You've probably heard of that. It's interesting that these and others are people who had a theistic worldview. I don't know everything about their personal commitment to the Savior Jesus Christ, but I know that from those I have read and the discoveries that have been made, these were thinkers of their day, great scientists who had a worldview that was theistic. It was based heavily upon the Scripture. Several years ago, Dr. John Lennox, professor of mathematics at the University of Oxford, came to the University of Florida. I was invited to that meeting. I told you about that back when it happened, but Dr. Kent Fox was there, the president, the new president at that time at the university, and he introduced Dr. John Lennox. Dr. John Lennox is a very learned man, professor at Oxford, did work at Cambridge, mathematics background, and he spoke in that packed hall at UF on the basis for life and his theistic worldview based upon belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm saying all that to say this, that when you think about the Magi, and by the way, in verse one of our passage, look at that, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men. The some translations take that word wise men, and that's where we get the word magi. Wise men, these were men who were experts in the stars. These were the intellectual folks of this day. They were from what would be called then Persia. And they came from Persia, and they came to seek Jesus. I only bring up those other names to let our young people and to let our college students know that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you don't check your brains in at the door. Amen. You give your life to Jesus Christ because you have made an analysis of the evidence. You have made an analysis of creation. You have made an analysis that because of all the physical laws of the universe, it appears that the best position, the most likely position, the intellectual position is to realize that there is a creator. And you build from there, from the fact that there is a creator, then you begin to look at arguments that who is that creator? Who was Jesus Christ? What did Jesus do? And as a result of that, it is altogether the correct position to come down on the fact, listen, that this baby that we celebrate, that these magi worshiped, is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So today I'd like to share with you a Bible study, a message today, the Magi, the wisdom of Christmas. We talked about the wonder of Christmas last week. Today, the wisdom of Christmas. Three things I want you to fill in on your listening guide on the back of the bulletin, all right? And I want you to get these principles. Number one, wisdom leads to acknowledgement of God's work in your life. In verses 1 through 8, we see that these wise men, they saw this star. Now, Herod, the Bible says in verse 1, in the days of Herod the king, Herod ruled from 34 B.C. to about 4 B.C. He was an Edomite, Jewish by religion, but a terrible leader by practice. He was actually a very paranoid person. He was threatened that anyone would come after his power. And as a result, he had his wife murdered. He had his children, many of them. His kids were murdered. Matter of fact, he killed Antipater, his son, 5 days before his death. He was that paranoid of a leader. But these wise men came, and they were men who were experts in the stars. And it says in verse 2, they came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, where is he who is born King of the Jews? How did these guys from Persia, how did these magi, how did these wise men know that there was a king born in the scriptures, a born King of the Jews? Well, they obviously had studied the Old Testament. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, as a matter of fact, it's quoted there in verse 6, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people." They knew, they studied the scriptures. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 30, it says this about Solomon: "Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt." These men of the east were known for their intellectual ability. They were known that they were students of culture and students of sacred writings. Do you know that in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, you may want to write that reference down and go back and look at it. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, it says this: "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." They evidently had studied the scriptures enough that when they saw that star, they knew something was up. They knew that the Gentiles shall come to your light. They were Gentiles, and they were interested. They knew God was working. Can I say this to you? Wisdom acknowledges that God is at work in your life. There are circumstances that are being enacted in your own life, even today, I believe. If you are sensitive and realize that, sensitive to that, and realize that God is at work, you're a wise person. The God of this universe is moving in your life. The scripture says this: "Behold, today is the day of salvation, saith the Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart." That verse tells me that God woos the hearts of men. And I think it's the wisest position to take, the same position these magi took. They had studied the scripture. They knew that the Gentiles shall come to your light. And somehow God revealed to them, they saw it in their circumstances, that there was to be one born King of the Jews. And as a result of them seeing the star, they ended up coming. And so I want to encourage you to have that same wisdom to realize that in the circumstances of your life, God is moving. They said, "We have seen a star." The supernatural presence of a star. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 11, because you ask the question, why did the Magi, what made them even open to the Jewish Messiah that would come? Do you know that God had taken a Jew and placed them years and years before their time in their country, and he excelled to the point that many believe that there was great respect in that part of the world, in Persia, for the God of the Jews. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 11, we read about this young man, Daniel. It says in Daniel chapter 5, verse 11, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers." The context of that verse I just read to you is that Belshazzar was the king at that time, and he saw handwriting on the wall. He had been partaking of strong drink, and he saw handwriting on the wall, and he called all his astrologers in, and they had no answer. Somebody said, "You know, there's somebody in our kingdom that God has given great wisdom to." And so they called Daniel, and Daniel interpreted that handwriting on the wall that Belshazzar saw. And Darius had previously put him in a prominent place in his kingdom. So these magi for generations heard about the wisdom of Daniel, heard about the wisdom and the greatness of Daniel's God, even in Persia. And because of that, when these men saw the circumstances of their life, they realized there's something to this. Can I just say this to you today? God is orchestrating circumstances in your life, I believe, to get your attention, to realize that He is the answer for your life, that He is the one who can change your life. He is the one that you're really looking for. I mentioned Pascal. Pascal is the one who said that in every man's heart, there is a God-shaped vacuum. It's almost like there's a puzzle piece in every man's heart. And what do we do all of our lives? We spend our whole lives trying to find what's going to make us happy, what's going to fit perfectly in that puzzle piece. So what do? We think, well, it may be power. And so we try power and it doesn't meet the need. It may be a new relationship. We get that relationship. We think that's the answer. We finally get it. We put it in there. It doesn't meet the deepest need. We think it may be money. We get money. We think this is the answer. We put it in there. Listen, all of life is spent trying to find what Pascal said was the God-shaped vacuum, filling it. How do you fill it? Can I say this to you? It's a very wise person who discovers that God has orchestrated the circumstances of their life. Can I say this? Even perhaps you being here today, for you to realize there's only one thing that fits in that God-shaped vacuum, and that's God Himself. Augustine said it this way, Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee. I came to Christ at age 17. Hadn't lived a ton of my life, hadn't lived a lot of my life, but I had lived 17 years. I'd lived long enough to know that I'd tried several things that I thought would make me happy, and they were disappointments. But can I tell you this? The day I realized that Jesus loved me just the way I was, the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross in dying for me was the greatest discovery I have ever made, because it finally filled that vacuum in my heart to know that whatever I faced in this world, I could face it, listen, knowing that God Himself and I had a relationship with one another, and I could go through whatever circumstances that he was to bring me through with His help. In the back of the auditorium today, I'm going to have a guest reception. I hope our guests will come. I try to give away a book back there that has really helped me as a Christian. It's a book called More Than a Carpenter. Josh McDowell was a student at UCLA. He was not a Christian. Matter of fact, he would be considered an agnostic. I'm not sure whether he would have called himself an atheist at the time, but he was at least an agnostic to say, you know, I don't believe this Jesus stuff. And some people began to invite him at UCLA. They began to invite him to Bible studies. And he said, man, I'm sick of this. All these Christian people around here inviting me. As a young law student, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at the evidence and disprove the claims of Christ. I'm going to disprove them. Well, you know what happened, don't you? As he began to look at the claims of Christ, as he began to evaluate it, Josh McDowell became a believer in Jesus Christ. And he wrote that book, Jesus is More Than a Carpenter. That's who he thought Jesus was. Jesus was just a carpenter. Josh McDowell gave his life to Christ. He has been spending the last 5 decades telling others that Jesus is more than a carpenter. So here's the first thing about the wisdom of Christmas. The wisdom of Christmas is first of all, someone who's willing to realize and acknowledge that God's at work in their life. I encourage you to make that decision. The second thing is this: wisdom leads to worship. In verses 9 and following, It says this, when they heard the king. Now, what happened prior to verse 9 is Herod brought them in and they discovered that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. They got that from Micah, the Old Testament, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And so they made that assessment. And so Herod said, now, Magi, I want you to go find Jesus, and I want you to come back and tell me, because I want to go worship him. Well, that was a lie. Herod really wanted to go kill Jesus because he was threatened by anyone that would be king of the Jews. And so that's what we have up until verse 9. And then in verse 9 it says this, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. By the way, all we know at the beginning of the story is they saw the star. Here in verse 9, the star moved. This is the time we understand that the star actually moved when they went to Jerusalem. It moved and brought them to where Jesus was, all right? And it says, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wisdom leads to worship. Amen. This ought to be one of the most worshipful times of your life as we celebrate Christmas. The wisdom of Christmas, those magi are examples. They fell down and they worshiped the Lord. The idea is an idea of humility. The Bible says they worshiped. They fell prostrate down on the ground. It's from a word that means to lick. They worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? The height, it is at the height of intellectual prowess to bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I will tell you this, the scripture says this, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Every time I quote that verse of scripture, I think back to a message I heard called, and the title was Leonid Brezhnev, Man of God. What? And the pastor was preaching. He said, look, I do not know if Brezhnev, the Russian communist, ever put his faith and trust in Christ. There's no evidence that he ever did. But he said, we have these options. We either worship Jesus on this side of heaven, or we will bow the knee on the other side of eternity. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it. Every man, woman, and young person will worship and bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a wise person who bows the knee on this side of heaven. Amen. Think about that. They fell down and they worshiped the Lord, and they gave him gifts. One of our deacons, Dave Fox, always prays. When he prays for the offering, he says, Lord, we thank you that we can give you our time, our talents, and our treasure. You know, we have an offering, and we give of the increase that the Lord has blessed us with. Money, we give money to the Lord's work, and it helps our church, and it takes our ministry forward. But it's not only the money that we are to give. We are to give of our talents. We are to give of our treasure. And I always think about that when I see this passage. They gave gold. That's a gift for a king. If we are wise, we will recognize that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Then they gave frankincense. That was used by priests in the temple. The scripture says that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And the Bible says, for there is one man and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So frankincense was definitely appropriate as a gift. And then the third gift, as the children said this morning, was myrrh. Myrrh was used in a burial ritual of the Jews. That would be a very unusual gift. But do you know that Jesus came here and he was born and he had a purpose, and his purpose was to die on the cross that we might be saved. The scripture says in the book of Romans, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So they came and they worshiped. We cannot lose the connection between the birth of Christ and the death of Christ. One of the things I'm so fired up about the program tonight is that the birth of Christ is highlighted in such a beautiful way, but it takes it all the way to the purpose of Christ coming, and that is his death. Now, these wise men that came, tradition tells us that it was Caspar, an old man, Melchior, a young man, and Balthazar, an Ethiopian man, showing that all peoples of the world are to come. These were Gentiles. They were not Jews, and they came and they worshiped. Come, see, let the children come. Oh, let the older people come. M, let the middle-aged people come. E, let everyone come. That's the great word of the Bible. Jesus is saying to you, come and worship. So, they worship. The third thing, quickly, wisdom leads to obedience. In every Christmas story that I find, as a result of those people seeing Christ, things change. Can I tell you this? When you take a strong look at what Christ has done, things change in your life. In verse 12, it says it this way in our passage. It says, then, this is after they worshiped. In verse 11, they worshiped and they gave gifts. In verse 12, it says this, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. When you see Christ and what he has done, you can never be the same, ladies and gentlemen. And these wise men were not the same after they found the Lord Jesus, after that star led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout history, this baby in the manger has caused many to go another way. Let me ask you this. Does your Christianity and your worship of the Christ of Christmas lead you to live a different way? These magi give us that example of going another way. Dr. Bill Bright is in heaven now. He was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. When I was at UF, I had several guys that were involved in Crusade that I knew, and some of them challenged me in my spiritual life to walk with the Lord, and it was a great encouragement to me. I've always had a great respect for Dr. Bill Bright, who founded that. He tells the story of in 1948 opening up the Los Angeles Times and seeing that Dr. Cyril Jode, who was head of the philosophy department at the University of London, had been converted to Christ. Dr. Jode was an internationally known atheist. He was a contemporary of H.G. Wells, Bertram Russell, Bernard Shaw, and others who had probably done more to undermine the faith of the collegiate world of that generation than any other group of people. Through all of his adult life, he had denied the deity of Christ, and he had denied the sinfulness of man. But in 1948, he had seen the results of two world wars. And as a result of that, he realized, you know, mankind cannot be good. These wars have demonstrated that there is a depravity about man, and one thing led to the other. And this interesting man, listen, very respected man, all of a sudden realized, you know, God is bringing me around to a position that's different than what I have stood for my entire life. By the way, he died in, I think, 1954, I think is the year he died. But in 1948, he was converted to Jesus Christ. I read a paper that said that some believe that C.S. Lewis at Oxford had a great impact upon Dr. Joad, the head of the philosophy department at University of London. But he ended up converting to Jesus Christ, and he ended up writing a book at the end of his life entitled My Return to Faith. Dr. Bright talked about how that strengthened him as a young man, and he was propelled to go on and go about the ministry that he began. So my question to you is this: can you be like the Magi? Can you see the wisdom of Christmas? And that is, do you see that the brightest minds, when they really think about what God has put together in creation, His physical laws, and then the claims of Jesus Christ, and the truth of Christ being born at Christmas, and then His death, burial, and resurrection, can you come to the place in your life where you see, you know what, wow, the circumstances of history, the circumstances of my life have led me to give my life to Christ. Now, the last thing, and I'm done. I want you to go back and look at our passage in Matthew chapter 2. There are three ways you can respond. Of course, we know what the Magi did in verse 11. They worshiped, so that's one of the ways. That's what I encourage you to do, to worship the Lord Jesus at Christmas, to give your life to Him, to trust your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another way you can respond. In verse 8, we see what Herod did. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him." That was a lie. Herod was hostile. You can be hostile. And oh, ladies and gentlemen, there are those that are very hostile about Jesus Christ, are they not? They're hostile about Christ because they're threatened. Can I tell you this? Until you come to the reality, listen, that Christ is to be your Lord. You can't candy coat it any way, congregation. You cannot be the Lord of your life and Christ be the Lord at the same time. And Herod would not put up with it. And can I tell you this? I meet people all the time who say, "Oh yeah, I love Christmas," but they haven't taken it to the way it ought to be taken, and that is that Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives. Herod was that way. Herod was hostile, so you can be hostile to Christmas. The other thing you can do is you can just listen, do nothing. I want you to look at verse 3. This is interesting. I just discovered this in this Bible study as I was preparing for today. In verse 3, it says this: they went, they said, "We have seen a star," in these verse 3, "and when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem." Now look at verse 4. "And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, 'Where is the Christ to be born?' And they said, 'In Bethlehem.'" The scribes and the Pharisees, they knew the scripture. Do you know that Bethlehem was 5 miles from Jerusalem? 5 miles from Jerusalem. They did not move. The chief priests and the scribes knew that Christ was 5 miles away, and they just went on business as usual. I'm afraid that may be the most frequent response of our people. Not necessarily hostile, not necessarily going to worship Jesus, but just indifferent. Jesus, the Son of God, was born in that manger, 5 miles from where those chief priests that had been studying the Old Testament all their lives, and yet they were not willing to get up and go and worship the Messiah. What about you? What about you today? Let's be like the Magi. The wisdom of Christmas. It's a wise person who sees the circumstances of his life and realizes that the God of this universe has been wooing him to come to know Christ in a personal way. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.